Genesis. We're in Genesis today, chapter 41, and we read verses 1 through 4, but I'm going to read to you 44 through 46. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I, Pharaoh, decree that without your approval, no one is to raise his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh called Joseph by the name Tsaphnath-Paaneah and gave him as his wife Osnath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Then Joseph went out through all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Then he left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt. Here we are already at the amazing story of Joseph. My, doesn't time fly? We just seem like we just started the Torah, and we're almost done with it. Things don't start to slow down until we reach the stories about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Even when time seems to just fly by as we watch the biblical story unfold, year in and year out, we read the Torah. And hopefully, you are also studying the rest of the Bible too. And we see new things through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, our Holy Spirit that comes forth from our Father. And so, from the Jewish Study Bible, it says Joseph is once again second in rank. Joseph will indeed rule just as his brothers feared, but this crucial qualification, his rule will be rooted not in sheer power, but in the benefit he provides to the less fortunate. This corresponds to an ideal of kingship widespread in the ancient Near East, in which the king is the rescuer and servant of the people, according to Judges 11, 4 through 11. You'd see that. How much further can Joseph sink? But God has something better in store for him. In showing us the Messiah with both of his comings, Joseph stands in the annals of the Bible as the one of the strongest images of our suffering Messiah, Yeshua, and King Messiah. In Joseph, we see that there will only be one Messiah, not two or more, as some believe in Judaism. The idea of Messiah is not a new one to Christianity, of course. You all drew it from the teachings of Judaism. The Messianic age is also from Judaism, as are the final battles between God and HaSatan. That's all Jewish stuff. It's not something y'all made up. This is why Judaism is a lightning rod, and why the nations of the earth, past, present, and future, are being gathered to come against not just the nation of Israel, but the Jewish people. They're being drawn, even people that don't even read the Bible are being drawn against Israel. You could read that in the paper every day. Something wrong with Israel. And nobody knows, but they're being drawn to it. They stand as a visible picture of God's plan, a plan that Satan cannot accept because it spells his doom. Either Satan knows what's going to happen to him, or he believes he can change the story, or he's just ignoring it. Any of these scenarios fit, but only one is true. Satan rebelled against God in the beginning, bringing about the fall of mankind. To be honest, we cannot blame everything on Satan because we have to make a conscious decision to listen to him and reject God and his plan of redemption for us. You have to decide to do that. Every one of us has what we call free will. God will not make us do anything against our will, and neither can Satan. God can use Satan to test us, and he does allow that to happen. Why? I am not God, so I cannot say why. But when you read the book of Job, you see how far God allows Satan to test us. Job 1:19, let me read this for you. "And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" In all of this, Job did not sin or change, or charge God with anything wrong. Judaism quotes the verse 21 there to indicate that we come into this world with nothing. It's in the Kaddish, where it is. And when we die, we leave it with nothing. How many of us could have spoken these words that Job, when he found out all his children had died, how many of you could have done the same thing? Not. Then go on and see what else Job had to endure while the Lord speaks to him. When the Lord did this, he was asking Job rhetorical questions where he did not want an answer. And when Job started to reply that he was told to be quiet, how many of us spend too much time talking? Yuck, yuck, yuck. And not enough time listening. I'm not talking about just waiting on God, but also listening to those we come into contact with, like our spouses, our children, our extended family, our friends. God gave you two ears and one mouth. It means he wants you to spend twice as much time listening as he does talking. Maybe if we spent a little more time listening, we could heed off some of the problems we wind up going through. Then again, we are creatures of habit, and we follow the example of our ancestors too much of the time. Every once in a while, someone breaks out of the pack, and it is these men and women of the Bible the Lord chooses to bring to the forefront. You know, the people that God chooses aren't really all together, if you've read the Bible. And I could identify with them. It's really good, because they're my kind of people, you know? Weirdos. A prime example of that is Joseph. A better picture of the Messiah cannot be found in the Bible, though there are other stories that show us the Messiah. In Joseph, we see both the first coming and the second coming of Yeshua all together. Even in his name, we see similarities. Yeshua, Yosef. Yeshua, Yosef. I mean, how close can you get? Although Yosef means he has added or he increases. Yeshua, of course, means salvation. My parallel is not just in the striking similarities in their lives, but in the names as well. Joseph is he increases or added, and Joseph added to the lives of those he came into contact with. Same as Yeshua, who brought salvation to everyone's life, who chose to accept him as Messiah. Joseph saved the known world in his day, as well as saving his own family, while Yeshua saves the whole world if they choose him. The lessons of Scripture teaches us are terrific. We need to keep these lessons in mind and not lose sight of them when things go south for us. Things are rapidly changing. I don't know if you read the papers. Are you prepared for what is coming? Or are you worrying about the things that you have absolutely no control over? Which is just about everything that goes on around you. The ability to choose is one thing we keep control of. You have the ability to choose. As the world continues to spin out of control, we must hold fast to the center of our existence and be a light in the darkness that is closing in all around us. We need to be lights. Join me as we stand for Messiah Yeshua. The only Hatikva, the only hope of the world is Messiah Yeshua. Yeah. We read Zechariah today. Sing, daughter of Zion, rejoice, for here I am coming and I will live among you, says Adonai. When that time comes, many nations will join themselves to Adonai. There will be my people and I will live among you. Then you will know that it was Adonai Tzevaot who sent me to you. Adonai will take possession of Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and he will again make Jerusalem his choice. Be silent, all humanity, before Adonai, for he has been roused from his holy dwelling. This is a mirror to when God dwelt in the midst of Israel in the newly constructed Mishkan, the tabernacle. While God removed himself from being in the midst of the people because of their sin, he will once again choose to dwell there. He's coming back to dwell among his people. Isn't that exciting? What a joy it was when God came into the camp of his people Israel, only to depart because Israel could not keep faith with their God. The same thing happens today and is growing every day. People cannot keep faith with the God of their fathers. They cannot walk in the ways of the Holy One of Israel. Today, many claiming to be like us, messianic, in practice are not messianic because the word is attached to Judaism and has always been attached to the ways of Judah. They're just trying to be Jews like everybody else. That's wrong. We're to be messianic. There's a difference. There are many who are getting tired of hearing and hearing and seeing the ways of Judah getting a bad rap as they have in the church. That is why Messianic Judaism came into existence. It was a place where Messianic Jews could freely express themselves, but as different types of Messianic congregations and believers have come about, this is changing, and it's not always the best. It seems that Messianics have forgotten that Yeshua was Jewish. There's a few of them that say he wasn't. And he lived as a Jew. There's a few that say he didn't. He chose to come into this world through the line of Judah, and he did not turn his back on his people and his heritage. Even the Shaliach Shaul, the Apostle Paul, upheld and taught their traditions to the Gentile congregations he went to. 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I praise you because you remember me in everything and hold firmly to the traditions, just as I delivered them to you. And 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by mouth or by letter from us. It's very clear that Shaul stood by the ancient ways of his people. Guess what? They were Jews. He did not turn from the ways he had been taught and even taught them to the nations he went to. Where did he go when he got off the boat? Synagogue, first place. So why did the church turn away from the path that had been clearly marked by the apostles? Why the passive and overt anti-Semitism within the church and now within even Messianic congregations and organizations? Wasn't Judah given the responsibility to carry Torah and teach it to the nations as well as their own people? You're to be to me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. Exodus 19:6. When are you going to start doing it? Yes, there are those among Judah who will not teach Torah to the nations or to Gentiles. We want nothing to do with you guys. Even when they desire it more than anything. They want it, but they won't do it. This is not right. And the truth be told, there are many Messianic Jews who, guess what? Don't keep the Torah. They believe they are to be examples to their unbelieving brethren through the keeping of Jewish customs and traditions. But why put on the window dressing when underneath there's nothing? I call for all of you out there today to stand up for our Messiah, who is Jewish, was Jewish, and is coming back, and he still be Jewish. And put some meat on the bone. Show Judah you stand with them, and you want the Torah to be taught to you because it is your birthright to get it too. Gentiles need the Torah too. We are all sons and daughters of Abraham. It says so in the Berit Chadishah that when you're saved, you are grafted in and you become a son or daughter of Abraham, the father of the faithful. Abraham, guess what? He was a Gentile. He was a goy, like most of you, as the Hebrew of the Bible shows us. It's okay. He was the first Hebrew, one who crossed over. After the promise of the Holy One of Israel that his covenant would be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they walked the ways of God and became the mature men of God that he desired that they become. He blessed them for their faith, and he wants to pour out his blessings on all of us as well. Isn't that exciting? Second Corinthians 6, do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and Torahlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Messiah with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them. He will embody us and walk among them. He's walking around right in front of you. You don't even see him, do you? He's right next to you. He's behind you. He's in front of you. He's carrying you. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Whose people are you? Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. Isaiah 52:11. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Who do you want for your father? You cannot mix the holy and the profane together. Can't do it. It's like trying to mix oil with water. You ever done that? It does not work. I know from personal experience. Each separates and stays that way. That is why when they have an oil spill, the oil floats on the water. Remember the Exxon Valdez? Now, granted, it is a mess. And that should tell you something about what happens when you mix the things of God with the things of this world. It is a mess. God told his people to keep themselves separate, not to intermarry with the nations. Why did God do this if we are all one people? Because of the bringing together of what is from God and what is from the nations and their ways. Too many have come into the Messianic movement with the idea that Christian and Messianic mean the same thing. On paper they might, but in truth they don't. I call on you to hold fast to the ways Yeshua taught and Paul taught. Torah is our birthright. It belongs to all of us. A-L-L. Don't let someone tell you otherwise, but respect the ways of those who have gone before you. Don't look down at them because there is a penalty to pay for that. Romans 11:17. But if some of the branches were broken off and you, a wild olive, were grafted in among you and have become equal sharers in the rich root of the olive tree, then don't boast as if you were better than the branches. However, if you do boast, remember that you are not supporting the root is supporting you. So you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. True, but so what? They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. For if God did not spare the natural branches, guess what? He's certainly not going to spare you. People say, well, the Jews, they're done. They're finished. We don't need them. We have the tree now. We are the branches that are grafted in. To what? What are you grafted into? A Jewish tree, man. Can you put a ham on a Jewish tree? Doesn't work. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, you are all one, echad, uno, nung in Thai, ein, you are all one in Messiah Yeshua. Praise be to our God and his Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Yeah. There's four Jewish grandmothers. They're sitting around their retirement home playing cards when the first Bubba, they're called Bubba's grandmothers. Bubba. Yeah, it's a southern word for Jewish grandmother. And the first Bubba sighs, oi! The second nods, sighs, and adds, oi vey! The third goes, oi vey's mir! Oi vey's mir! Okay, interrupts the fourth. Enough talk about our children. Let's get back to the game. Thank you.